I want to impress the idea on you tonight that there's a lot of stuff that gets into your mind and gets into your head that has a bigger effect on you than you may even realize. Ideas and values that are planted in your head, and here I'll give you a little test. I'll prove it to you, okay? This is audience participation time, okay? So let's see. We'll just practice. We'll see if we can do this. How about this? I'll give them something they couldn't mess up, right? Okay, so I'll say first word, you say the second word. So I say boomer. All right, okay, we can do this. All right, so here's back to the point here. They do that here at OU. I didn't know if you knew that. But anyway, so I want to impress on you that there are things that get in your head maybe more so than you think. So let's just try this test. You fill in the last word, okay? The milk chocolate melts in your mouth. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your? The best part of waking up is the Folgers in your? Barnum & Bailey is the greatest show on? Campbell's soup is mm-mm. Wendy's wants to know where's the? Had to. Made a lot more sense if you grew up in the 80s. Taco Bell says think outside the. And Sprite says obey your. See, now you got all kinds of stuff wired down in your head more than you even realize. And I mean, we could play that game for a while, but there are all kinds of values and ideas and thoughts that are wired into your brain, whether or not you know it or not. And what I want you to realize is that those thoughts and ideas and values have the power to transform and shape who you are. That's why people spend millions and billions of dollars to wire in, for instance, those words you just spit out. They didn't spend all that money to put them in your head for nothing, because they realize that once those ideas and words and thoughts and values are in your mind, inevitably it's going to shape and transform the kind of person you're going to become. You all got your Bibles tonight? Good for you. Take them out. Open them up with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, because I want you to see how important it is, the ideas and the thoughts, not just that you consider, but that you make it a point to plant in your mind, because those things are going to shape the kind of person you become. Now, I just want to focus on a couple of verses here, but looking at this whole third chapter, it's a powerful chapter that talks about what we have been, what we can be, and how we get from here to there. So chapter 3 begins up there top. I won't read the whole thing, but in essence, I would say the chapter starts out by saying, get your head in the game. It says you need to set your mind on things above. In light of the fact that you have been raised up and seated with Christ, in light of the fact that this is a reality in your life, you need to get your head in the game. You need to set your mind on what God has called you to be, has declared you to be, has destined you to be, is calling you to be. You need to get your head there now. Set your mind on these things. Focus on the reality of what you've become in Christ. And then what's more, don't just think about it, but you need to start demonstrating that reality even now. That dramatic difference, because it comes down here and says, you need to put on the new person who's experiencing a renewal in Jesus Christ. You need to start experiencing this dramatic difference and demonstrating it. And so on the one hand, that old person you have been, that old person you used to be, that old person that at your worst you're still tempted to be, you got to put that to death. So all this stuff, you know, immorality, impurity, greed, the kind of stuff you used to do, he says, verse 7, anger and wrath and slander and lying. That's who you used to be. You need to put all that to death. And on the other side, you need to start living what God said you are. So put on a heart of compassion and kindness. Be humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another and forgive each other. Put on love and let the peace of Christ reign. You need to start demonstrating the dramatic difference of what it means to be called by Christ. If Christ has really called you, that should make a dramatic difference in your life. And if there's not a dramatic difference, something's wrong with you or you don't got it yet. But it should change who you are. So in light of the fact that this has happened, get your head in the game and focus on it and leave the old stuff behind and get over to the new stuff. That's good enough. But here's the problem. A lot of times I end up saying, okay, good enough, but how? Because that's who I used to be for so long. And I keep getting pulled back in that. And I want to be filled with love. And I want to be ruled by peace. And I want to have all these attributes. But I keep going back to the old self. How do I get from here to there? How do I bridge from who I used to be towards what God's promised I will be? How do I get from here to there? And then it's the key to that I want you to look at here. So then the answer is right here in verse 16. Get your mind in the game. Demonstrate the renewal. And then verse 16, he ties it up, all this, and he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, be filled with the Spirit, in other words. And then sum it all up. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So how in the world am I supposed to experience this transformation, this total life renewal, where whatever I do in word or deed is all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, we're give Him honor. The bridge is right there. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What I want you to hear tonight, that the word of Christ, God's Word, is the bridge. And not just the Word of Christ, but the Word of Christ richly dwelling in you, that is going to bridge you transformationally day by day in a process of renewal from who you used to be towards who you're going to be. From who you are at your worst to who you are in Christ at your best. From who you were when you're lost to who you are now that you're saved. The Word of Christ, right here in chapter 3, that's the bridge. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That is the tangible thing in your life that's going to get you from where you've been to where you need to be. And it's not just the fact that God's word is true. And it is true. Every word of it's true. From Genesis 1:1 to the maps, it's true. Every single bit of the Bible is true. And that's good, but that's not enough. Most of the maps are true. It's not just that it's true, every last little bit of it, and that you believe it, even though that's good. In fact, it's not just that you learn from it, even though you do need to learn from it. You need to be a student of God's Word. You need to understand God's Word. But that's still not enough. But that it dwells in us. See, it's not just enough for you to get into God's Word, but you need to be in it to the point that God's Word gets in you. And there's a difference between getting in God's Word and it getting down so deep that literally it lives inside of you. So you need to make sure that the Word of Christ dwells in you. Like, you know, I mean, like dwelling, like whoever dwells in your house at home or something, that's the same word it's talking about. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. But this is a very conscious choice you make. It's not just a random thing. You gotta make a choice. Whoever dwells in my house, that is a very conscious decision. It's not something that does lightly, even if it's for a short period of time. I had a friend of mine call me. I haven't talked to him for 15 years. Called me from San Diego, California, a few days ago. Back when I lived down in Tucson, Arizona, he was there. He was a friend. He was a mentor of mine in the Christian faith. But he called me up. I haven't talked to him for 15 years. He got through my assistant because he claimed to be Bob Stoops. That's no lie. He claimed to be. And she's such a sucker. She put him through. Well, here is my friend after 15 years. And I heard his voice. And I said, Don, how you doing? I said, Don, I slept in your house the last two nights before I moved from Tucson, Arizona. He said, of course, I know that. I just dwelled in his house for 2 days, and I bet he'll never forget it. And that's not just because of my hygiene or snoring or anything like that. But see, it's not. I've had people sleep for just one night. John, who dwells in your house? Your wife and son. Are you sure there's nobody else there? You checked all the rooms. Nobody else dwells there. I mean, look, you know who dwells in your house. It's a very conscious choice. You bring people in or you don't bring people. It's a very conscious choice. You need to think about it. You need to decide. You're committed to it. Well, in that same way, the same way I choose who dwells in my house and I'm aware, you need to make a conscious choice to say, God's Word, the Word of Christ, is going to dwell in me. It's not going to be my neighbor. I'm not going to drive by and see it from time to time, but it's going to make up its residence inside of me. The Word of God needs to be so deeply implanted into your mind and your heart and your spirit that in some ways it almost trickles down into what I'd say is the subconscious. It's so deep, it's beneath the levels you're even aware of. What we're talking about, in a sense, is what the Old Testament concept of meditation. Now, a lot of times when people talk about meditation today, you know, meditation is like clear your mind, you know, like find a mantra, hum, go into some kind of that kind of thing. That's meditation. That's not what the Bible means when it says meditation. When Psalms 1 and 2 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When the Bible talks about meditation, it means taking the scripture of God's word and pondering that. See, where the world says meditation is empty your mind, God's kind of meditation says, fill your mind with my thoughts and let it run over and over again. In fact, the Hebrew word for meditate literally means to mumble or to murmur. You ever see anybody that, not like that, like going down the street? I mean, not like a crazy person or something, but somebody who obviously has got something on their mind. Maybe they're having a conversation with themselves, like, I wouldn't do that. And I don't mean they're on their like cell phone too. Do you ever have that? I always hate that when that, you know, somebody's going through a mall and they're going like, and I'm like, hey, and they're like, I'm on the phone. You know, that's the thing with cell phones. Everybody's talking to themselves anymore. But that kind of thing, or maybe somebody's on the way to test, right? And you're afraid that all those biology facts are going to leak out of your brain before you get to class. So you're just going over, gotta cut, just 30 minutes, that kind of thing. Well, that's sort of what the Bible is talking about when it says, and he meditates on it day and night. It is so planted in that it's just like, it's like bubbling out. I'm just mumbling, murmuring. Just, he meditates on it day and night. No, he meditates on it day and night and day, day and night. It's just like coming out all the time. Just trying to get your brain around. That's what the Bible talks about. See, did you see the same thing? How blessed, happy, joyful, full. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So in other words, he's put, remember, the old life behind me. That's who I used to be. And I'm bridging towards what God has called me to be. And what was the bridge in the middle? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it, he meditates day and night. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. See, the word of Christ is the bridge to get you from who you used to be towards what God has called you to be. It's always been that way. The man or the woman who is a man or woman of God so delights in the word of God that they don't just learn it, they just don't look at it, but they dwell in it, and it dwells in them so richly that it becomes meditation. It becomes a constant part of their thought process. That is the bridge that's going to move you across. And so if in your life, if you're going, dang it, I'm so stuck in these patterns. What are the patterns? I don't know. It's anger, it's lust, selfishness, relationships that aren't Christ-centered. What are you stuck in? Man, that is not good enough. Let me ask you something. Is the Word of Christ richly dwelling in you? Is it so deep in there that it bubbles out? Let me tell you a little story from my own life. Nothing dramatic. 17 years ago, I was 20 years old. And back then, I had no idea what I was really going to do with my life. Certainly, I'd never given any thought to being a pastor or in vocational ministry of any kind. I didn't know. I'd gone to a little bit of school, but nothing, you know, real particular, just a few things here and there. And, you know, but I was trying to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I'd never had an opportunity to have any kind of Christian training, never went to a Christian school or anything like that. I grew up in a great Christian home. I never had an opportunity to be in something like this, that's for sure. In terms of just, I was just a simple guy who loved the Lord and was just trying to do the best I could. Well, I got a new job 17 years ago, and my boss was like a baby Christian. You know, I mean, he was just like fell off the turnip truck. But I mean, but it was cool that we were both Christians. And so we thought, well, hey, this would be great. We could encourage each other. So we said, hey, how about once a week we'll start doing a Bible study? And that was good. And since like I had seniority, just barely, I was in charge. So, you know, he didn't know what to do with the Bible. So this is my old Bible I brought tonight from back then. And so I said, well, let's study a book study. Can't go wrong with that. So I said, like, 1 John, because it's short, you know, so how much trouble could we get in? So he said, all right, what do we do? And I go, well, you'll need to read the first chapter before we get together, and I'll read it too, and then we'll get together, and you'll kind of ponder that. So the first week we got together, and I remember we were sitting outside, and we read the first chapter of 1 John and kind of pooled our wisdom on it and, you know, prayed and, like, went on to work. So the next week we got together and we did the second chapter, but I felt like the first week hadn't had quite enough kick to it. And so, but I really wasn't sure what we should do. And then, you know, kind of like came back, the Sunday school stuff kicked in, and I said, Doug, you know, I think before next week we really ought to memorize the verse. And because that's what you do, you know. So he said, okay, sure. And I said, well, you know, you got to have this word perfect. And so we'd been studying 1 John chapter 2. And so I said, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That, because that was kind of the key. And so we did that. And so I have my Bible. So I, right here in the front, I still got it written out. So I wrote 1 John 2, 15 through 17. There it is right there. And then, so I wrote that down. So we came back the next week. And, you know, like we said, our verses to each other and like we both got them, so we got stickers and all that. And so, and then, so then the first week we did, the next, we were in chapter 3. And so I said, okay, well, you know, we need to do a memory verse. And so we did 1 John 3, 9, and 10, because that was good. And so, and I wrote that right there, 1 John 3, 9, and 10. And the next week we were in chapter 4, see how it goes? Chapter 4, and so we did 1 John 4, 9, and 10. I wrote that there, and so and we would do that, and we'd quiz each other, and then we never met after that. And so that was as far as it went. But I had these little verses memorized in front, because me and Doug did a Bible study. It was cool. I kind of had it wired away. Well, about 6 months after that, I got married. Didn't think anything more about it. And now we moved to Corvallis, Oregon, and we were living down there, and we were in this great church, and, you know, of course, we were nobody. I mean, I wasn't, you know. I was just a regular working stiff, but it was a great church, and I remember the pastor was preaching on 1 Corinthians, and it was like so cool. I mean, God was just moving in my life, and so, and I remember he preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 28. I still remember that, and I was like, oh man, talk about a home run, just that was so good. I was so pumped up, and I said, that I never want to forget that, and I said, wow, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to memorize those. And then I was like, oh, Doug, that's right. Man, I hadn't thought about that for 6 months. That's right. So I thought, oh, man, I'm going to look at those again. But I'm going to add to them 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 28, because I want to remember that one too. And then I have four here, and I had a fifth. And I said, I'm going to memorize that. And then, you know, like the next week, the pastor like hit another home run. And so I decided, well, man, maybe I'll do that. And I realized that I was starting to, like, memorize, put away Scripture. I mean, you know, this is not rocket science, right? I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I know that. I'm comfortable with that. But this is not rocket science, right? Everybody knows, yeah, you know, I mean, because you do it to go to summer camp or keep your Sunday school teacher happy or whatever, right? I mean, you do this. So I felt sort of embarrassed because I'm doing probably like what every like mature Christian does anyway. But I was just like, well, doggone it, I'm doing it. And so when I would go into work, I'd memorize my verses. And I never had an accident. God protects me. I mean, I don't tell your insurance agent that, but I mean, I never had an accident. I'm memorizing verses and putting God's word in my heart right there while I'm driving. I was always safe because I was just so excited. And I got about, I remember I had about like maybe 20 verses memorized. And I had been a Christian. I'd grown up in a Christian environment my whole life. And I had like these 20 little Bible verses memorized. And I'm telling you, I thought my spiritual life had just exploded. I couldn't explain it. I mean, it was like alive. I mean, I was thinking God's thoughts, and like stuff was coming to me, and like everything was just everywhere. And I was like, wow, I had no idea. I just had these, I always did the Bible memory thing, you know, where like, because we get to go to summer camp, you know, and so you run it like the biology thing, it's going to leak out of your brain, kind of like inside, like running. I got 3 Bible verses, kind of say them really, really fast, and I would say them, and I get my stickers, and that's how I always remember. So I didn't have any idea that you would ever like do it to keep it. See, I didn't know that. I thought you just did to go to camp. But so I got 20 verses, and I'm just like, my spiritual life is just boom. I was like, this is cool. I'm gonna do this. And I said, till the day I die, I'm gonna put verses away. It was like I wanted to know every verse there was. You know, there's like 33,000 verses in the Bible. I counted. Well, yeah, but because I want to know, and I go, oh, and I was like calculating how fast I could do it and how many years, and like if God kept me alive till my late 90s, I could make it. You know, I was like, I just wanted to know it all. It's 17 years later, and I just want you to know this isn't, you know, fancy or anything, but listen, if you see me driving down the street today, I still got 4 5x8 cards that go with me wherever I go. Wherever I go, I'm always memorizing something. So right now, I'm memorizing Psalm 69, verses 5 and 6. That's my, so you can come quiz me afterwards and all that. That's my verse right now. Now listen, I'm not Mr. Mega Memory here, and I'm not here to sell you memory system, because you know what? I don't really have that great a memory. And I don't have like an exceptional amount. I like, you know, in 17 years, I memorized like 1,400. I mean, it's really not, it's nothing that, nobody's going to put me on TV show or anything. So I'm not here to impress you. I memorize verses painfully slow. Maybe like one every week or two. I mean, but I'll tell you what, to this day, nothing changes my life more than that process. And it's not like there's some mystical thing like, if you get 50 verses in your brain, bingo, like something magical happens. It's not like that. There's this spiritual process of what Colossians is talking about. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And whatever you do in word or deed, do on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him, even to God the Father. It's that process. And I don't know how to explain it other than, yeah, it comes into my mind and it sinks into my thoughts, but even into the subconscious, and it's transformed the person who I am. Now, I know that some of you, you're sitting there and you're going, well, that's good, but, you know, I got the worst memory in the world. Just ask my teacher. I forget to show up all the time. I'm terrible. I don't remember anything. Listen, let me tell you, I don't know you real well, but let me tell you something I know about you. You got a great memory. You got a great memory when you want to have a great memory. Give you a little test here. How old are you? Don't say that. I mean, these are rhetorical questions, see? Just in your mind. How old are you? Most of you got that. When's your birthday? Uh-huh. When's your girlfriend's birthday? Now, if you don't know, just a little tip from me to you. That would be a good thing to memorize. What's your phone number? What's the PIN number you have for your cash machine? See, and I can prove I don't have a good memory because I don't always remember that. I always like have to go in the calendar and like, I don't know how to get my cash out of the machine. So like my PIN numbers for everything are the same. I mean, in the alarm code, the PIN code to get my voicemails, everything is one number because that's all I can remember. But I do remember it. When's payday at your job? Yeah, people tend to remember that one. What's the password for your computer? Girls, how many carbs are in reduced fat Triscuits? You know, it's incredible. I don't even know what carbs are. You say, oh, there's 21 carbs and 7 low-fat Triscuits. What are you talking about? Like, you remember this? Oh, yeah, I read it. Listen, you got a memory if it's important enough to you. That's what I'm saying. The stuff you don't remember, it's not important to you. Like, let's just say, hypothetically, if I set up a little program, here's what we're going to do. Just want to encourage you to memorize verses. We're not going to do the run-in for it leaks out of your brain kind of thing. But here's the thing. Starting tonight until the end of the semester, I want to encourage you just to memorize as many verses as you can. We're going to sit John at a little desk the last day of the semester. He's going to line up. You're going to come in, and we're just going to cash you out. Because you know what? I mean, we're just spending way too much money. So we're just going to go right to the bottom line. We're going to cash you out $400 per verse, okay? So go to him. Do you think you could put some away? Yeah. I mean, you'd be creative. You'd be making up songs and interpretive dances to remember. You'd figure out a way, right? Because all of a sudden it became important to you. So I want to get this out of the way right now. It's not a matter if you can or can't. It's only a matter of importance. So what I'm asking you is it important enough for you? Because like, why? Because you get into heaven if you got 100 or more verses? No, of course not. But because the Word of God richly dwelling in you is the bridge that's going to help you experience the transformation to who you've been stuck being, to who God's called you to be, and down in your heart you want to be. That's the key. Is that important enough to you? Are you tired of being stuck? Are you tired of knowing that God's called you to something but never reaching it? Are you serious about taking it to the next level? Are you done being a casual Christian? Have you had enough time on the fence? Have you spent enough days being defeated? Because if you get to the point where you say, doggone it, I really want to take it to the next level. I really want to be the kind of person that could look Jesus in the eye and say, you know, whatever I do in word or deed, whatever, when people see me, when people don't see me, when I'm at BSU or when I'm at class, when I'm with my Christian friends or I'm with people who got no idea who I am, whatever I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I want that to be me. Well, if it's important enough to you, let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. It's time for you to take it to the next level. I'm not just saying it's time for you to get into God's Word. I'm saying it's time for God's Word to get down into you. And I don't know any other way to do it like that. God's blessed me in the last 17 years. Man, if you told me 17 years ago, sitting there at that table with Doug, that I'd be a pastor, or that like I'd be teaching anything, that I'd make it through college, if you told me that I'd live in Oklahoma, I would have been, that's crazy, crazy, crazy. God's blessed me. And I'm so thankful. You know what? And I've had wonderful opportunities to grow in my faith through a lot of things. I've had chances to earn a degree or two or three, read a few books. I've gotten to learn from, some of the most powerful, amazing, so smart Bible theologians in the world. That's great. And I got books. And I've been in encounters. And so many things. But if I had to choose, say you can have one thing, or you could have one thing, I'm telling you what, if I had to trade out my four little cards, I'd give back every degree, because all of them together haven't given me what my little cards give me. If I had to trade out all those books in my library, I'd trade it out for those cards. If I had to trade out all the training and all the seminars and all the encounters and prayer times and whatever else, if I had to take just one thing, I'd live my life reading through that Bible. And when God spoke to my heart, writing that down on a little card and saying, I'm going to mumble over that so many times until it's a part of me. Now that's just me talking. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip onto you. I'm not trying to give you a formula for being a spiritual person. I mean, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you my story. But if I could choose one thing, that's what I do. Because more than anything else, that's helped me to experience the transformation from who that person I was stuck being towards what God's making to be. And I'll tell you what, through those little cards and God's Word, I'm a man who stands before you now who's still in the process of transformation. I'm not there yet. But God's Word, by His Spirit, in my heart, every single day, is getting me a little bit closer. I want to challenge you to get serious about that Word. So it's not just a book you got on your lap, but it's the Spirit of the living God. It's bubbling out of your heart too. Let me pray for you and I'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these guys and gals and their love for you. Lord, for their commitment to you. Lord, I pray for maybe that person who's here tonight who hasn't ever experienced that. Lord, I pray by your Spirit you'd impress them that transformation is possible. Just because it's always been a certain way doesn't mean it always has to be a certain way. That they can experience transformation. And Lord, for those who are saved, Lord, I pray for them that they would see this ongoing process of renewal into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a living reality in their life. God, I pray that that Word on the page would spring to life for them. I pray they would read it, they would study it, they would mumble over it, they would push it down until it is as much a part of the fabric of them as is the DNA that they were born with. God, thank you that over all these thousands of years, you went to all the trouble to preserve your will for us in this Bible, that we would know what we're to believe, how we're to live. I pray that we would take that seriously enough to let it make a home inside of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.